Well, thank you, worship team. We generally, on Communion Sundays, we try to have an extended worship time as well, and that's what we did this morning, and it's just good to be able to do that. This is a time of service where we take our offering, but we don't pass around the plates. There's a stool just in the center aisle here. That's where you can give your offering. If you're a regular tender, that's for you as well. If you're visiting here today, no need to give whatsoever. If the Lord puts it in your heart, great. But there's no obligation to give. And there's a few ways to give as well. You can go online, give into the back, and you can see the slide there and the ways we can give too. So we are always grateful for the gifts, tithes, and the offerings that folks from this church and this community contribute to the kingdom work. It's so helpful to our mission and what the Lord has put on our heart as well. So let's spend some time in prayer, and then we'll dive into this morning's message. Lord, thanks again for this time together. Thank you for the way you take care of us. Thank you for, if we had breakfast this morning, for the food in our belly, the warm bed we slept in last night, and the things that we often take for granted. And I pray that we would be able to always reflect and give thanks to how good you are to us. And for those who've come this morning that, and those watching online as well, that are struggling today, that are in a tough place, whether it be health-wise or spiritually or relationally, perhaps financially, I pray, Lord, that you would, again, meet them where they're at. I pray for open doors in the right situations, that you would bring continued peace and a deep sense of your leading in their lives, and that for those who are physically struggling this morning with health reasons, I pray for strength, for healing, for encouragement, for just for people having a hard time just moving or getting out of bed, that you would just give them what they need each moment, each minute, as they open the eyes of the heart to know that every breath they have comes from you. So I pray for just, again, you would just engage with people, Lord, that way. I know it's a challenge these days. Lots of people are struggling through different things, and not just physically, but emotionally as well. And for those who are here present today, and again, for folks online that are struggling with anxiety or worry or pain or just the unknown or different mental health struggles, I pray, Lord, for answers. I pray for clarity. I pray for encouragement again, and that you would speak to each folk through the scriptures, and that people would not give up, that people would not do their own thing or retreat on their own. I pray they'd reach out. And for us, too, that we would have the eyes to see and the ears to hear folks that are struggling, and that we come alongside to minister and to minister well. And I pray there to be a deepening of community in this church that would continue to grow. I thank you for the work you are doing here and in people's lives, and just being able to see and understand more of who you are in our lives through the Bible and through words of others as well, through our worship, through community. And Father, for those who've come today that are struggling with sin, maybe perhaps there's something in their life that they're holding on to that is trying to fulfill their heart, that is trying to take the place of you. And whatever that may look like, Lord, I pray that you would release those things in Jesus' name, that you loosen those chains and people would find freedom in you, that they would not feel like they are bonded to this sin, but they can find freedom in you, Lord. So I pray against Satan's lies as well, that he often tells us that we have no hope, that we are guilty, that we should be shamed. And I pray, Lord, that those lies would dissipate in Jesus' name, and that, Father, we would be able to see that we are loved and accepted. And Lord, I know you want us to be blameless in your eyes, and we don't want to make choices that break your heart. We don't want to serve the flesh, and whether it be the choices we make, the words we say, or the thoughts of our heart that nobody else sees, I pray, Lord, that you just give us that desire and strength to hate sin and to dive into holiness, and that we would try to, through the power of the Holy Spirit, live a life that is not perfect, Lord, because we know we're not. And I pray that we're able to do that in such a way that there would be humility in our lives, that we would be honest in the right setting with our weaknesses and our struggle. I pray against arrogance. I pray against doing things for you versus being with you. So, Lord, thank you again for this time, and we thank you for the people we support to the mission. missionaries too. We think of the Lowens, James and Corrine, that you continue to be with them and lead them in the ministry they're doing as they help others understand you and the discipleship and the things they're engaged in. And we thank you for the Millers who are in Pakistan, that you would continue to direct them and help them settle in, and thank you that things are getting better for them there and as they minister to the locals. And thank you that they found a home church, and I pray you continue to protect them health-wise and also give them favor in the ministry there as well. We thank you for Ross Haven Camp as they prepare for the summer. We thank you for Greg and his family as he directs and leads there. We ask that Jesus, that as they prepare for the summer, as they go out and about and connect with churches, that you supply all their needs for them, workers and just the financial resources they need to do some rebuilding and the work days that are coming up, and that they would just be able to have a tremendous summer coming up this year. And I thank you for their commitment to the kingdom and just for the work you're doing in and through them. And for all the students that come, all the kids that come to the camp, I pray the gospel would fall on good ground, Lord, and seeds would be planted. So, Lord, lead us now. Thank you again for each person here. And for those who are away, watch over them too. And yeah, Lord, we're just grateful for, again, just the love you have for us and the forgiveness that comes. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just to let you know, next week we're starting just a short series on prayer and fasting, and we're actually going to provide you with a booklet that will be available next week with a prayer guide, a Bible reading guide as well, and some instruction on fasting and what it means for us to fast biblically. And there'll be some resources in this booklet to help us pray for specific things in our community, in our church as well. So look for those next week. We're hoping you can take one book per household, but if we run out, we'll definitely print more. And we encourage you to go through the reading plan. We're going to do that together. We're not asking you to fast for 3 weeks. However, that's the length of our series, and there'll be some guides as well as you consider how to fast and how to pray for each other, for our community, and for the church as well. So we're looking forward to that. Well, I don't know if you've noticed a theme, but what we're trying to do at the beginning of the year here is to set us up for just continued reflection in our own spirit, our own hearts, and what God is doing to lay those things to the cross. Like when we did our year-end reflection recently, and now we're doing prayer and fasting coming up, and a chance for us to go through the scriptures together and ask the Lord to lead us as well. So I encourage you to be open and to pray for these things that are coming up as well, including the AGM, which is next week, and all these things that are going on. And again, a reminder for the AGM, if you have any questions about that, you can talk to the elders, and the booklets are available in the foyer. So as we come this morning, today is just calling it really a call to worship. And we're going to just go through some scripture together, and it's an opportunity for us to slow our hearts down a little bit as we've come this morning, a chance to be reminded of our living God that we worship, the kindness of goodness of who he is, and how he leads us as well, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I found it fitting this morning as we're doing this call to worship. And we often do that at our service before we start. We do a call to worship, a scripture is read to prepare our hearts. I got a text this morning from a friend just with some scripture, and it was a call to worship for my day today. And I thought that was very fitting considering what we're talking about this morning. So I appreciated that text from a friend and the scripture that he did sent out as well. And a call to worship is a chance for us to, again, engage the word. It's a powerful component to our worship services. It's also a component in our lives each day when we go to the scriptures to hear what God is saying in and through his word. It's a chance for us to turn our eyes and our ears towards the Lord. And I'm not sure where you're at with your reading these days in the Bible. I'm not sure what's going on there. However, as we provide the reading plan next week, as you think about the call to worship, we pray you're encouraged by what you hear this morning. And these are the scriptures we're going to go through. And there'll be an opportunity for you guys to respond to some of the scripture as well in a moment. So I'm going to read some scripture to us and just going to go through some. And I just encourage you to open your hearts and be open to what the Lord has for you. And perhaps it's a scripture you've been reading recently and speaks to you as well. So Romans 8, 1-4 says this. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. That's an amen right there. free from sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of the sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So good, the scripture here, to know that we are free from sin and death, and to know that we do not need to live in the flesh, that we can live in the Spirit. And this scripture should encourage us. There's no condemnation. I think it's easy to feel condemned. And let's not cheapen God's grace, but let's recognize there's no condemnation in Christ. And that's a good thing. And I hope you know that this morning and that encourages you. Psalm 99:1-3 says this: "The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim, let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion. He's exalted over all nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy." Capture verse 3 there, right? Let them do what? Praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. God is holy. We know that. So how often do we praise the awesome name of God? Not just here at church, but the other 6 days of the week that we live our lives. In our actions and how we live each day as well. What does that look like for us? And the Lord reigns. And again, the nations have trembled. We just went through Psalm 46 recently, and we talked about that, how the nations tremble, and God has all power. Philippians 2, verses 5 to 11 says this: "In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." I think one of the parts of the scripture that I appreciate so much is in verse 6, where it says again, "who being in a very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage." Love that. Jesus didn't take this lightly. It wasn't for his own glory. It wasn't for his own ego. He made himself nothing, a servant. It's just powerful to recognize he did that. And I hope you know that. I hope you know that his heart was in the right place as he humbled himself. And be humbled by this scripture this morning, because, again, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. And that's powerful to know that as well. Psalm 136, verses 1 to 9. You'll see the scriptures on the screen there. And I encourage you to, the highlighted part there, I want you to read that out loud together back to me. So I'm going to read the first part. And the highlighted part, I simply want to say, "His love endures forever." And I'll actually get you to stand for this part as well, please. Psalm 136, verses 1 to 9. And don't just say it as a mantra because the pastor asked you to do it. Do it because you know that his love endures forever. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone does great wonders, who by his understanding made the heavens, who spread out the earth upon the waters, who made the great lights, the sun to govern the day, the moon and the stars to govern the night." Amen. You may be seated. And there's more verses to that psalm as well. And I remember many years ago, I was at a worship service, and there's a song to this as well that you can go, and it's "Love Endures Forever," and people repeat it. And I remember I was just early in my Christian faith, and it was a very long song, and I turned to my friend, I said, this song's going to go on forever, because it just felt like it. And I was reminded of God's endurance as well and his love for us as well. So it's so good to know his love endures forever, meaning no end. There's no end. And I know sometimes in our brain we have a hard time understanding that concept, that there's no end. And I sometimes don't understand it at all. But it's so beautiful to know that his love will endure forever. John 15, verses 1 to 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So the question we have to often ask ourselves is, how often do we remain in Christ? And what kind of fruit are we bearing in our lives? See, fruit, when we buy fruit from the store, whether you put it in the fridge or on your counter, it eventually goes bad. It just does. You can freeze fruit and it'll last a little bit longer. But the beautiful thing about the power of the Holy Spirit and the fruit in our lives that is through the Spirit, it will never rot. It will never go bad. Now, we can make choices in our life that may cause our fruit to not look as healthy as it originally was. However, let's recognize this, that we don't do any of this on our own. We remain in Christ. But one of the questions we need to ask ourselves as we consider being fruit for the kingdom, what kind of fruit do we show in our lives, publicly and privately? What does that look like for us, individually and collectively? Because at the end of the day, what matters is who sees our fruit. Obviously each other, but God sees our fruit. So I want to encourage you in that. Remain in the Father, remain in Christ, and our fruit will bear much of a witness. Because apart from who? Apart from Jesus, we cannot do anything. Yes, we may be able to do something for a short while in our flesh, but that's temporary, and it usually serves our own purposes. But let's remain in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 63 says this, you, God, are my God, earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you, my whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry, parched land where there is no water. How parched is your soul this morning? How much do you thirst for the Lord in your life? How many of you are in the desert today where your lips are so dried, your heart is so dry, that you are just not connecting with God anymore? And this scripture here tells us what? You are God, you are my God, as I earnestly seek you. You know, we have to seek the Lord as well. We have to spend time with him and to praise him and to lift up our lives to him as well. So be encouraged by this. Be encouraged by this. Because I think we all go through a season in our life where we're parched, where we're tired, where God may seem apparently far away, where we don't want to spend time in the word, where we don't want to go to church, where we don't want to be around other Christians, where we don't want to serve his kingdom. We've all gone through that. I know I've experienced that as a pastor for a long time, but before even a pastor, as a Christ follower. us in the midst of all that, God remains faithful. God remains faithful. But we should also consider where we're at with Christ. Revelation 21. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. He who has seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Capture that? To the thirsty, I'll give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He doesn't change. And I want to encourage you this morning to recognize that this world may cause confusion. Social media and the news may throw us for a loop. But let's recognize that God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, period. Know that full well. We need to know that full well today in this world we live in. There is so much despair out there. And the people I talk to in this world that aren't followers of Christ are, and many Christians too, are struggling. And in the midst of our struggle, we need to remain faithful to God as he's faithful to us, and to know that he is exactly who he says he is. And we need to hold on to that tightly. People are saying the time is coming. The time is here. Well, they're suffering, and it's going to get worse. But let's recognize God is in control. Psalm 138, I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart before the gods. I will sing your praise. I will bow down towards your holy temple and will praise your name for your unfailing love and your faithfulness, for you have so exalted your solemn decree that it surpasses your fame. When I called, you answered me. You greatly emboldened me. Psalm 100. We did this morning. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know what the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Have you entered his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise? Not just here this morning, but throughout this past 6 days. Did you do that? I hope you did. We should give thanks because God is good. Psalm 66. Come in here, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened. He has heard my prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. So you capture that in there too as well. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. I think sometimes we wonder why God isn't answering or God isn't working in our life. And oftentimes I think we don't reflect enough to say, hey, maybe there's something in my life that I need to make right with a fellow human being or something else, a confession of sin, whatever it might be, forgiving someone. Let's not minimize that because it does matter in our life. Exodus 15. Verse 2, the Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I'll praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Psalm 96, verses 1 to 4, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. And gods is a small g, not a big G, because there's only one big G. And that's God our Father, Jesus Christ, the Lord, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit. A couple more for us. I hope you're encouraged. I hope these words are resonating with you. And if you want a copy of these scriptures, I'm more than happy to give them to you. Revelation 15. Capture this. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways. King of the nations, who will not fear you, Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you. For your righteous acts have been revealed. And our last one this morning. And there's many more, but these are the ones we focus on today. Psalm 108, verses 1 to 5. My heart, O God, is steadfast. I will sing and make music with all my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the people, for great is your love. Higher than the heavens, your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Now, as we consider a call to worship in our lives, as we do that on a Sunday morning, I encourage you to start your day, to start your whatever that looks like for you. Morning is a vital time and it's an important time. But whatever works for you, start your day, start your life somewhere in your day, a call to worship God. And if you need to call it that, call the call to worship. Title it, put it somewhere, and read some scripture. Read it out loud and prepare your heart. Prepare your heart. Because we do this morning just to, a time again to reflect on God's goodness, his scriptures, what he's done for us, a reminder of his faithfulness to us. Because we are not perfect people. We struggle each day. I know I struggle through things. But when I look at the Bible and I look at these words, I am so encouraged. Because we don't want you to come to church feeling beaten up. We don't want you to feel discouraged at church. We want you to feel encouraged, but also with the truth. And part of the truth we live in, a big part of the truth we live in, is hear what we read. And be encouraged by that. Put this in your soul, in your heart. Do not let people come and steal the word of God away from you. Because perhaps one day we may not have access to it. That's a reminder in scripture to tie the tablets of the scriptures around our hearts. To meditate on them day and night. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, thank you for the call to worship. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you are steadfast, that you are faithful, that you are true. And I thank you that in our weaknesses we can come to you, that we can come with our struggle. And I pray this week that we can incorporate a call to worship in our life, whatever that looks like for us, whether it be singing a worship song, whether it be writing in a journal, whether it be diving through the scriptures, whatever that looks like, I pray that we would make your word and make our heart of worship a centerpiece of our life to give you all the glory, all the praise. In Jesus' name,